We are now very pleased to be joined by Jeremy Schwartz, Global Head of Research at WisdomTree. WisdomTree currently offers 85 ETFs with nearly $40 billion in assets. And you talk about ETF innovation, WisdomTree has to be near the top of that list. And as it turns out, I actually had an opportunity to moderate a panel on alternative ETFs last week at Inside ETFs. Jeremy was one of the panelists. And we had a tremendous discussion on an area where there is no question a ton of innovation occurring right now in alternative ETFs. And WisdomTree has some really interesting products in this space. We'll discuss a few of those with Jeremy, who is now joining us via phone from New York. Jeremy, as always, great having you on the program.
Nate, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I first want to say it was nice to finally meet in person last week. I know we've talked several times in the past, but we never met in person. Glad we were able to do that. First, any takeaways from the conference? Obviously, you're there in a bit of a different role. You're representing an ETF provider, but was there anything that stood out to you?
No, certainly this conference keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's a place where, you know, there was worries as a provider, all you're talking to is your peers in the industry. But really, there is all the home office relationships. Everybody that you want to be in front of is down at that conference. So for people who haven't been there, I think it's a great peer networking opportunity. And we could see really the rise of financial, social media, Twitter, the groups that get together. A lot of the conversations beyond even just the conference sessions, getting to interact with your peers and clients there is really sort of next to no other conferences. So it's really a great conference to be at and get to network with.
All right. So I want to ask you about two WisdomTree ETFs that came up during our panel discussion. Both of these seem to generate a lot of interest. The first is the WisdomTree 9060 U.S. Balance Fund, ticker symbol NTSX. So this is basically a levered 60-40 stock bond portfolio. Take us from there. Explain the idea behind this.
I think first, you know, when you think about one of the panel discussions we had was what is the role of alternatives and how do you fit them into a portfolio? You know, when we talk to a lot of investors, I think one of the main questions is if you have alternatives, which tend to be higher fee, more complex, opaque strategies, the question is, well, how do you fit in? What is it going to replace when you put this into a portfolio? What are you going to sell? Is it going to be your stocks? Is it going to be your bonds? And, you know, a lot of these alternative products have, you know, bond-like volatility, but they're more, you know, in this higher fee, opaque structure. Will you really sell bonds to get something that you're just less comfortable with? And it's one of the big challenges. And so what we look at is 9060 NTSX. You know, we look at that as a way to anchor a core, and if you put two-thirds of a portfolio in a 90-60 strategy, two-thirds times 90 is 60, and two-thirds times 60 is 40, you get that 60-40 representative type exposure, and then you have a third of your portfolio that you can use for other diversifying strategies. And the question is, well, what would you want to complement this 90-60 with? Certainly you're taking traditional bonds and using bond futures. And so you're losing sort of the cash piece. When you think about what is a bond, it's sort of the short-term interest rate plus the longest duration future type exposure. If you think about a bond, is cash plus the futures. And so you want something that has sort of cash plus kind of returns. So some people think a managed future strategy where your collateral is in cash and you add sort of this trend component on top of it might be, you know, one of those sort of ideal strategies. But you could also think of it as even if you just substituted more bonds in the portfolio, what you're getting is you're getting that bond future diversification on top of equities that you would have had with the traditional 60-40. So there's been some research on just how this more diversified portfolio solution, if you think about just replacing equities, you're getting this bond futures diversification on top of the equities, and that will allow you to get a more efficient portfolio. But I think the general sense was 90-60 helps you add more room for alternatives when you're building these capital-efficient type portfolios.
Jeremy, anytime some investors hear the word leverage, they automatically think more risk. So what does the risk profile look like here? What are the additional risks of a strategy such as this?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you're taking $100 and you're putting $90 in equities. So in a way, you're delevering your equity exposure because you're instead of for every $100, you get $100 of equities. You're getting $90 of equities, $10 of actual sort of cash, and then $60 of bond futures. So compared to if you were just replacing equity exposure, you have less equities, but now you have, you're substituting $60 of bond futures exposure for that $10 of equity exposure that you're not taking on. And so the question is really then the correlation structure between bond futures and equities. And so you could say, what is your worst case scenario? Is if you had a sharply spiking interest rate, so the 10-year went from, you know, 260, 270 to 350, so you had a 1% rise in interest rates, you know, how much do those bond futures decline? And does that decline, does the equities decline by the same amount? You know, which one has more, you know, are you worse off than if you just had the same $100 in equities? You know, there's a lot of times that you look at the last time we had a market that was where the equities sold off driven by rising rates, in early 2018 you had some of that. Now, the bond futures didn't decline by as much as the equities, so I think you still would have got some diversification from this kind of strategy. But so that relationship between bond futures and equities, when you think about what are you comparing it against, is it 100% equities, is it traditional 60-40, that will lead you to say, is that extra exposure through the bond futures something that's going to hurt you or help you?
On that equity exposure, is that all U.S. large cap?
Yeah, this was idea was, you know, there's a lot of the motivation behind this is there's a lot of active managers who will actively manage a portfolio of fixed income bonds and then add sort of complex equity derivatives on top of that. Some of the big fixed income managers do that. And this idea was nobody's done this with a beta-like solution, so we're using basically U.S. large cap equity beta, sorry, cap weighted equity beta with a bond futures that looks just like a laddered, you know, treasury bond futures curve. And so it was idea to bring it in a sort of relatively low fee, 90-60, 20 basis points. So compared to the higher fee active managers who are doing it, that was the concept of doing this sort of additional exposure, capital efficiency at a pretty low fee.
All right. Another ETF that generated quite a bit of discussion on our panel was PUTW, the WisdomTree Cboe S&P 500 Put Right Strategy Fund. And incidentally, you gave a great 3-minute presentation on this during the Hidden Gem session at the conference, which is always one of the most popular sessions. But explain what a put writing strategy is and then what this ETF does.
So PUTW was designed to track that CBOE S&P 500 Put Right Index. And, you know, it was the first in the sense of being the beta to put writing. So there's been some covered call type strategies in the marketplace in the past. This was sort of a first for the put writing concept. And the idea is when you think your upside is limited in equity, so when you think you're getting later stage in the cycle, and you can you transform some of your traditional equity market risk to sort of premiums that you get from selling options. Now, your upside is only really your returns come from this option premium that you're selling. So on the downside, you have equity beta. You know, you basically go to one equity beta on the downside when the market falls by more than the premium you've collected. So there's a strike price on every option. We're writing at the money 1-month options in that PUTW fund. So when the price falls by more than strike price, you basically start getting equity beta of 1 on the downside, and your upside is basically capped at the premiums that you're collecting from selling the options. And so I think this is when you're in the latter stages of a market, but you still want some equity beta. The equity beta tends to be 0.5 to 0.7, depending on the market. You get, you know, you're writing these 50, you know, they're sort of at-the-money puts every month. You know, the beta is not 1, but it tends to be lower vol than traditional S&P-like structures. We see it for people who want to have some equity beta, but just think that the gains are more limited. So this is just another way to get some equity market exposure.
Jeremy, you mentioned lower vol, and it was interesting. During our panel discussion, one of the other panelists, Nancy Davis with Quadratic Capital, you and her sort of went back and forth on how to think about a put writing strategy. And she felt very strongly this was not a way to minimize volatility. She actually said it was a short vol strategy. How should investors think about this?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely different concerns on different levels. Like when you, we look at it as it's certainly not just a short vol strategy. It has to do with options, right? So the fund is selling at the money options. And the level of option premium you're going to collect is dictated by the level of volatility. And so you do, and we are saying there is amount of equity beta to the strategy. I mean, you do have equity beta on the downside. As the markets fall below the strike price, your beta goes to 1. There's a question on how much leverage do you have? There's no real leverage in this strategy. It's cash secured puts. The amount of notional options you're writing are secured fully by the cash that you hold. You're holding treasury bills in the portfolio from all the from premium that you're writing, and you're not going more levered on the downside. So there were these VIX type strategies in the market that were short, actually just short vol, and have different reset periods. That there's different fears on that. This is, you know, an equity. It's a combination of returns coming from some of the equity beta as well as some of the vol. You are selling options, so you are collecting premium. So there's an element of volatility that increases the amount of premium income you can collect, but it's not as explicit. I mean, I think we were sort of talking past each other in some of those things, but there is an element of vol that relates to your returns in these strategies.
Jeremy, this is Jason Lank. When I think about alternative ETFs like PUTW, the million-dollar question is, how do I use it? Where does it fit into the portfolio? Again, something you alluded to earlier. Do you hold this out? Should I consider this a core holding, a bellwether, or is this more of a tactical tool? For example, if I'm anticipating choppy markets, then I think this tool might adapt well to that, and so that's how I would use it. But how would you respond to that?
You know, I think we, in some of our model portfolios, we've included it in the alternatives bucket. We think of it as, I mean, I know there has been some of the big private banks and some of the big institutional consultant firms that have looked at it as a, you know, S&P 500 type replacement or using it as a U.S. equity exposure. And so, because there is an equity beta to it. I mean, certainly, you know, it keeps drawing on the downside. You do have the equity beta risk to the downside, and you're just transforming, you know, unlimited upside in traditional equities to capping your upside through selling the premium and only collecting the options, you know, income that you're selling in PUTW. So I do think of it as filling out that alternatives bucket, and it is for people who think you're later stages and you're not expecting very wild upside in the markets. If you think you're like a 0 to 7% type return environment, you just want to get have some equity beta, but not the full equity beta that you would in owning the S&P 500. You know, there's one way to do that, and that's the types of clients that we see interested in.
Jeremy, we only have about 2 minutes left here. I did want to ask you about another ETF, the WisdomTree Floating Rate Treasury Fund, ticker symbol USFR. This has been a tremendous success story. This thing has grown into a $2 billion fund just over the past year or so. Why do you think this ETF has resonated with investors?
Yeah, so this was one that started last year at $1 million and ended January.
It's amazing.
So it is one of those nice success stories. And this was, you know, in some ways, a lot of what WisdomTree is designed to do. We've talked about a lot of our innovation and being trying to add value on top of the market. This was one that it was a beta solution. It was the first security issued by the U.S. government since TIPS were introduced in 1997. It is a floating rate security, so it was least credit risk. It was government paper instead of sort of LIBOR floaters or corporate floaters or bank loans that a lot of people use for floating rate exposure. And as the Fed was hiking rates, it was the shortest duration bond ETF in the market. So as people look for duration management tools and they don't want to take the credit risk in additional LIBOR floaters or bank loans, we look at this as the shortest duration. Rates reset every week. It's tied to the weekly 3-month T-bill auctions. And, you know, at 15 basis points, it's a good short-duration treasury fund, and it sort of resonated a lot in the market as the Fed was hiking rates. But it, because it's treasuries, it's good core U.S. bond exposure for people looking to manage their different duration buckets.
Well, Jeremy, with that, we'll have to leave it there. As always, really appreciate your time. Again, glad we were finally able to meet in person last week. Thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
That was Jeremy Schwartz, Global Head of Research at WisdomTree, and you can learn more about their ETF lineup by visiting wisdomtree.com.